Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Perhaps because we live in a very linear, problem-oriented society, sometimes we tend to think of evolution as a linear process. Some people even believe that we humans represent the epitome of that process. However, this isn't necessarily true. Within the healthcare community, there's been increasing interest in what is called the mind-body connection, the idea that the mind is different from the brain. Way, way, way back before the dinosaurs, evolution set out to solve a problem. Would a diffuse brain that involved the entire organism be more or less efficient than a higher brain with lesser connections in the body? As it turned out, there are advantages and disadvantages to both. Way, 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 way back when, these two branches began to evolve. And if we want to look at the endpoint, we would say that the endpoint of the cephalocentric or brain-centric approach is the human being, whereas that of the mind-body approach is the octopus. Octopuses are amazing animals. We don't know a lot about them because they lost their skeleton, and about the only fossil remains take the form of their beaks. On the other hand, there is an amazing array of these animals. They also display cognitive abilities on a par with those of a dog. Just based on that alone, we might say that the mind-body approach has merit. If you have 8 legs and you have a very efficient nervous system in those legs that apparently can think and make choices, that confers some advantages compared to having all of your mindfulness concentrated in your head. Like humans and other animals, some octopuses are smarter than others. Some of them like us and some of them don't. In laboratory settings, octopuses show preferences for certain people. Yes, if you do experiments, they don't like people that cause them pain or discomfort, and they do like people who treat them in ways that they find rewarding. Like all animals, including humans, they make choices, and whether or not they repeat the choice depends on whether the results of the choice are rewarding or not. Their built-in learning system is self-reinforcement. They're very alert. There's a fair amount of anecdotal evidence that suggests that octopuses are very aware of whether they're being watched or not. And if they're not being watched, like little kids, they'll make their move. Octopuses like to play. So now we have this population of animals, roughly 300 species, who, as far as we can tell, have come down through eons with this mind-body sensibility pretty much intact. Meanwhile, we humans are struggling to come to grips with even the most rudimentary understanding of the mind-body connection. And here we have the octopus, predating humans by thousands and thousands of years, because there is something about the integrated mind-body that confers survival skills on a par with the approach represented by human beings and all other domestic animals. Just as the octopus's orientation enables members of those species to display behaviors, playfulness, intelligence, possibly emotion. So we have remnants of the ancient mind-body prototype within ourselves, at least in the laboratory, and at least some octopuses are willing to embrace what they can learn from us. We can only hope that there are those in human behavior who will be open enough to recognize what the octopus has to teach us about body-mind mindfulness.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.